Amen, amen. Good morning and happy Easter. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. It's a great day. It's not a regular day. And thank you for allowing us to be worshiping you this morning. And now it's a time where we're going to listen to you talking to us. We're asking you, Lord, to bless your servant through whom you will speak. Forgive him of all his sins. And let your word go through and touch the heart and soul today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I belong to the club which doesn't make any difference in days. Every day is the same to me. I don't mind dress up like this every day. I don't mind being in my jean every day. But it's occurred to me this morning, even in my house, I saw difference in dresses. I saw people have new dresses. And I came to church. The first person I met was Jim. Look at Jim. Stand out, Jim. Let me see, Jim. Thank you. I said to myself, what's going on? Actually, I thought I was dressed up, and I look, oh my goodness, I feel like I was taken from a trash can. I see everybody dressed up. Jonathan, look at you. I look, you know, so something is different. Juju came to me this morning. I look, I say, wow. So it's not a regular day. It's a great day. Every Sunday is a Sunday, but this Sunday is definitely special. It is special. It's not special because it gives us, some of us, because I don't have any new clothes, some of you occasion to get new clothes. But do you know this day changed the course of the whole world? Do you know this day caused the readjustment of calendar, start counting, you know, before Christ, after Christ, AD, BC? Do you know if it wasn't for this day, there wouldn't be Christmas? Can you imagine that? And do you know how Christmas impacted the whole world? If it wasn't for this day, the world wouldn't be what it is now. First of all, you and I wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be church worshiping Christ. It would be a dead savior. Remember Paul in 1 Corinthians, I think, 15, where he talks about, he was talking with people who don't believe in resurrection, this group. And he said, if there is no resurrection, then we have no hope. And he says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of men most miserable. Thank God he's risen. And we can know for certain, not only today, it's changed everything, tomorrow there will be a day where a trumpet will sound and he will come to get us too. That is the hope that we have. So what we're going to do this morning, we are going back to the original day. Way back, over 2,000 years ago. We're going back. We will do that with the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And we're going to read the whole story of that first day, the original day from the whole chapter. And I will try to read it for you, but I trust you will pay much attention. From verse 1 to 10, we're going to see that Mary Magdalene comes to the sepulcher. Was the first one to come. And I'll read verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. We're going back to Mary, but early she came. That first day, which was a Sunday, when it was yet dark. So it was day, but it wasn't clear yet. Okay. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other apostles whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. We all know who the other disciple was, John himself. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciples, and came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together. And the other disciples did outrun Peter. I don't know why he had this one. He had this to show he was younger, faster. You know, he had to put that on. Okay. And came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and went he not in. So John said he went in, he get there first, but he did not go in, but he saw the linen clothes lying. Verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. Peter came last, but he went in, and he saw the clothes. Verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. So he came in first, he didn't go. Peter came second, Peter went in, and then he went in after Peter. He saw and he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house. Just few points to get out of these verses. We saw that Peter came, and John came first, stooping down and looking in. He saw the linen clothes lying there. Peter came, he went in, and he saw the linen clothes lying there. And then he told us that John went in after Peter. He saw everything as well again, and he believed. I wanted to make a big difference here between the saw we saw, the two different saw. There are three different words, and I wanted to catch that to have the point here. John stooping down and looking in, and he saw. That word saw means to clearly see a material object. From outside, he looked, he saw it. That's a different word from the second saw. When Peter came, he went in, he also saw. But the way Peter saw it, the word is to contemplate, to observe, to scrutinize. He went in and he examined. He saw the clothes were neatly organized. It's like the body was evaporated. It wasn't just seeing clothes, but it's like the body lie down, but just evaporate, but everything was in place. The clothes were still orderly and neat. That's what he saw. Now, that neat, orderly arrangement explain them it wasn't something like a robbery. It was something special. Something awesome happened. The other disciples then, he came in, and the Bible says he saw. That saw is different from the first time he saw it. These words mean he understood. He perceived the significance of what he saw. And again, if you are interested, you'll go and then do the word search. There are three different words. After he understood, he perceived the significance, then he believed. Then he believed. What I personally get out of this . If you just want to just take a look at what Jesus is all about, let me check this religion out. Let me check this Jesus out. Let me check this church out. You will see, but it will be just seeing from far. But the closer you approach to contemplate, to understand, that's where belief will come. You see, unless you have experience with Christ and let him work in you, you're not going to get the fullness of it. So from verse 11 to 18, we're going to read that Jesus appeared to Mary now. Verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. We have to get this point here. The other disciples left and went home. They look and they, okay, yeah, that's, we believe, Mary, what you told us is true. He's not here. But they went home. Did Mary go home? No, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher and weeping. But as she wept, a second thought said, well, she kept on looking. She said, let me look again. As if something was going to happen. It's like you're just hoping. There is no hope, but yet you're hoping. It's like the old story of like somebody who did not play the lotto, but they're still hoping they will win. So they had a list of people who win, and somebody was just looking, and if another friend came by, I said, what you looking at? Well, I'm looking at if I see my name here. I said, well, did you play? No, but you never know. It doesn't happen like this. You have to play to even hope. So it seems like this kind of looking, Mary went to look, but a few minutes ago, the body wasn't there. But she saw two angels in white sitting. One sat at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse 13, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? As far as we are concerned, this is the first words he said after he resurrected. Why weepest thou? And whom seekest thou? I want to know why are you crying and who are you seeking after? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. That's a little funny here. First of all, she mistakes Jesus for a regular gardener, a simple person. And do you know when sometimes we trouble with our personal issues going on, sadness, and we minimize the power of Jesus? Actually, we're trying to find somebody else to lead us to him, or, but that was him. He said, I am here. But for some reason, we don't know which, the Bible says it wasn't allowed her to see who. But I thought about it. That's a good way to know how much you are loved. I was thinking, I said, I would like to be some kind of coma. And then people think I'm dead, and to see what my wife would say about me. Or what my children, or what, you know, everybody. So Jesus is talking to her. She did not recognize him. And to hear somebody talking about you, to say, hey, they have taken my Lord. And sir, is it you? Do you know? Let me know where you put him. And I'm going to take him. And I wonder, was Mary strong enough to carry a dead body? But when you love, you are in love, and then you love, you think you can do everything. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which to say, Master. Can you picture this scene right there? That's a great scene. Great scene. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. She wept, but this was unnecessary tears. And we know many times we cry, we weep unnecessarily. We know that. But we see Jesus talking to her, giving her words and sending her as first missionary. And she is recognized by everybody. She was the first one to be sent to give the good news, the gospel, that he is risen. This is the word of God. But do you know, according to the rabbi teaching, it was better that the word of the Lord be burned than to be entrusted to a woman? It's better for the word of the Lord to be burned, destroyed, than to entrust that word to a woman. Jesus changed all that too. He changed all that. She was the first one. He says, go and tell him. But another thing too, this one, it's my version. If you want a word to spread out rapidly, quickly, I mean, I mean, let it go. So, and then she went out, and, you know, 19-23, Jesus appeared to his disciples, but Thomas was absent. Then the same day at evening, so that was early in the morning, he talked to Mary. Now we are in the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sin ye retain, they are retained. That first day, it was Sunday evening service. Thomas wasn't there. He missed that opportunity. And I advise you not to miss a Sunday evening service, which you don't have, but at least not miss a Sunday morning service. Great things can happen and you will miss out. And then when finally, verse 24 to 29, the Bible says, Thomas wasn't there. They came to Thomas, said, Thomas, we saw the Lord. Thomas said, no way. One of the 12 called Didymus, verse 24, 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hand the point of the nails and put my finger into the point of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He was determined not to believe. But after 8 days again, his disciples were within. Now, remember, it was Sunday, and this is 8 days after. It was another Sunday. This is where the evangelical world take the day from. They call it the day of the Lord, the day he resurrected. And for twice on Sunday, people, you know, the disciples met. So even though they met, they probably met different time, but Christ appeared to them the first two times. On Sunday. Okay. And Thomas this time was with them. He learned a great lesson, right? Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither and thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Do you know you and I are those ones who haven't seen? And if we believe, we are blessed. We are blessed. I really hope you believe. Verse 30 and 31, this is the goal of the gospel. This is why he wrote the gospel. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And that believing ye might have life through his name. This is the first day, the original first day. The lessons that you and I, beside what we get here, should get out of it. Verse 1 and 2, it says the first day Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was yet dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciples. And she said, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Now, who is Mary? Mary was a disciple, but she has a story that you and I need to know and to understand her attachment, how she was the last one to leave the cross that day when Jesus was buried. She was there, the last, and then she was the first one to come. If you go to Luke chapter 8, verse 2, you'll see an idea. You'll remember who she was. Verse 2 says, and a certain woman and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene out of whom went seven devils. That's her we're talking about here. Seven devil spirit came out of her. She didn't have a life. She did not have a life. But in Jesus, she found life. So after Jesus was gone, her whole life was gone. So when she said, hey, just tell me where you put him, I'm going to take him even to Jesus' death. She was still loyal. Loyal. This is how you know when somebody is really loyal, really love you. Even when you die, they still respect you. So she showed gratitude by ministering to Christ even when he was leaving. She didn't wait when he died. You know how things work. While we're living, we don't pay much attention to people who are dear to us. But after they're gone, and you start crying, yeah, he or she was a good person, she did it for me. You know the funerals when you go to and they're telling you all the story, all good stuff. But when the person was leaving, no honor was given, no attention was paid, no love was manifested. But after death, then you show all that. But it wasn't so for Mary. According to Mark 15, 40 to 41, there was also women looking on afar off. From home was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the less and of Joseph and Salome. Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Do you know the women did not have to come to Jerusalem? Because it was mandatory for men to come for that feast. But they came to make sure Jesus was in good hand, in good care. Good care. Oh, yeah, the men could have taken care of him, but the women want to make sure he was taken care of. To minister unto him. And she showed her gratitude by her presence at the cross. John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. She is there everywhere. Everywhere. And obviously, we just read, she showed her gratitude by her presence at the sepulchre. The Bible says she went early. Now, she wasn't the only one. She wasn't the only one. She had at least three more women going. But Mary was the one who ran back to go tell the story. She was the one, obviously, the Bible says, who get up early. There is that scripture in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. This is God's word. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find. I love them that love me, and I love those that seek me early. If they seek me early, they shall find me. Now, have you ever have a big thing coming the next day? Then you cannot wait for the day, for the night to be over. You have maybe a big check coming, maybe it's a special raise or a new job, whatever you are expecting, you cannot wait for that day to come because you have something else. But you know her, she could not wait for that day to come because she wanted to go and be with Christ. She could not wait. She had to wait because the Sabbath. She had to wait after the Sabbath. So when the first day came, she didn't wait for the sun to come up or however the first, whenever the Sabbath. She was waiting for the first minute, the second Sabbath is officially over, to run. It wasn't even day yet. It was still dark. She ran. But you know, some people, if you are a business person, if you have some interest, you cannot wait for the day because you have some business that will bring you interest. You have business to take care of. We have one example in Amos chapter 8. This is God speaking. He says, hear this, O ye that swallowed up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit? When it's time for that day to come, for Sabbath to be over, we cannot wait, that we may buy the poor for silver, that we may buy the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse for the wheat. We cannot wait to do business. We cannot wait but it wasn't so for Mary. She could not wait. She wanted to see the Savior. Do you know also, the other account? She had the perfume thing that put together for the body. That day Jesus was buried, it was done in a hurry. So there wasn't enough time. They didn't take enough time to do it right. She was coming to do it right, to honor even the body of Christ. And obviously, another reason, it was two guys who did it too, right? Who were there? Joseph and who else? Nicodemus. There were two guys. What kind of good job two guys can do? The women would come to fix it, to do it right. So that's why she was coming too. But in her appeared the most affection, even though there were other women there. It was an affection kindled by a good cause, in consideration for the things that Christ has done for her. She didn't come like everybody else came. She came because she has a reason to be there. Her affection, nobody can match that. The more is forgiven to you, the more you love. You remember that? I want you to go with me to this scripture. Luke chapter 7. You know this story, but we're going to take our time and read this. You will understand why she loved Jesus so much. And one of the Pharisees desired Jesus that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, came. She knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed his feet with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other one owed other 50. And the other owed 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them which loved him most? Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears. And she wiped them with her hair of her head. Thou givest me no kiss when I came to thy house. But this woman, since this time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil that did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith saved thee. Go in peace." You know, Lord, this week, I was invited by a brother here to a special service. It's Easter. And I was just observing and thinking and seeing what's going on and seeing the ministry this person had. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know their doctrine for sure, but you can tell whether it's of the devil or of God, something is happening. I mean, great ministry. great ministry. And I said to myself, you know, it is important not to criticize others when we're not doing much. It's like growing up, I was arrogant and all on fire when you see people giving tracts, doing preaching in public. If yeah, they are religious, they need to be saved. And I, right now, I say, my goodness, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. I mean, yeah, Jesus said, go to the highway and byways. I'm not doing it. They're doing it. And then I am criticizing them. Simon invited Christ to eat. Oh, yeah, invited him for a meal. That's a good thing. But now she came. She doesn't have a house to invite Christ, right? She doesn't have much, probably, but she heard Jesus was going to be in town. She brought her ointment. She came in crying because she knew who she was. She wasn't worthy. Everybody in town knew she was a sinner. But she trusted in Christ that Christ understood and Christ would be her savior. She wept. She anointed it and she washed Jesus' feet. And Simon did not have anything better to say. But in his heart, he said, oh my goodness. He say he's a prophet. He's not. I guarantee you, he's not a prophet. If he was a prophet, he would have known who this woman is. And he wouldn't even let her approach her that close, even touching him. But Jesus knew all hearts, right? He knows what's going on inside. And Jesus said, well, Simon, you know what? I have something I want to share with you. And Simon said, yeah, Lord. That's hypocritical. You see what I'm saying? He didn't tell Jesus that. He said that in his heart. But Jesus, who knew, said, hey, I have something to tell you. And what is it? Jesus said, well, the master had two servants or two people who owe him money. They bought, let's say, some bought $10,000 and some bought $100. And both of them did not have money. And frankly, the master called all of them and said, hey, don't worry about it. The one with 10,000, no jobs, no skills, nothing, had no hope when he would repay. Or probably a she too. He was a she probably who owed 10,000. I don't think a man would borrow 10,000, right? No, I think the man would borrow more for cars, for motorcycles, for whatever. But the one with 100, maybe a poor widow with no hope of paying, I get it backward. The first one had no hope of paying, but the second one, it's just a matter of time. Give me a month, I will give you your money. $100, no big deal. You forgive me? Yeah, all right, no, thanks, but you know when we are in church and we look at somebody else, we know we're better than that first person. We know it because we know their deeds, we know their do, and you feel, oh my goodness, you're thinking like Simon, but you know, that person who knows she or he is not good loves Jesus more than you do. They will go the extra mile. But you are already good enough. You just, just come to church and do whatever. You don't have the passion. Your heart is not in it. Oh, yeah, you would go to the sepulcher, but not first thing in the morning. But you would go. But she knows why she had
to go.
Now, another thing you have to keep in mind, Mary wasn't wishing for a resurrection. She wasn't. She didn't think, hopefully, he would be resurrected. No, she had no thought of resurrection. While she had no thought, she didn't see the body. Okay, you come to the tomb, you don't see the body. You had no thought of resurrection, but she already was certain the body was stolen. Get this point here. She had no thought he was resurrected, but she confirmed the body was stolen. How do you know? You know, no one would expect the first thought that would come to any Jesus' disciples would be the body was stolen. Because he told them over and over that he would be crucified, dead, but he would be resurrected the third day. Over and over. When you and I reflect upon our own conduct in the cloudy day, dark days, we forget everything, what Jesus said, what the Bible says, or what the hope we have. All we concentrate on is our issues. And then it's amazing how our dullness and forgetfulness, when finally we pass through this, oh my goodness, I was silly. I was silly for reacting this way. I forget all about the Jesus I'm serving, the power he had. And basically you wasting your time. You had wept and some tears that I call unnecessary. Mary already had all kind of ideas what happened to the body. When things happen to us, we blame our neighbor, we blame our brothers, we blame our sisters. We are all kind of there going on, but the true thing, we forget all about it. Probably Mary was thinking, you know what? It's the deed of the high priest. I guarantee you he did it. The high priest. And it surely would look like that, right? And she probably think, you know what, maybe Joseph and Nicodemus, maybe they realize that's not a good place to put him in case, so they may, whatever was going on in her mind, it seemed it was a great vexation and disturbance, the fact that the body was gone. She was disturbed and she wants the body back. And whatever it takes for her to bring it back, she would do it. Whereas if she had understood the thing rightly, nothing could be more happy than this, that the body is not to be found. That should be, if only she was thinking right, she would recall the saying of Christ. Have you ever get yourself to that position? You go crazy. I mean, you just go crazy. And the word is right there. It's right there. And then you want the body back. You want whatever the garbage, the trash, the material things, you want it back now. Who moved my cheese? Who moved my cheese? You know, the Bible says the natural man receive not the things of the spirit. The natural man receive. When things happen to you and I, if we are spiritual, we will close our eyes and say, okay, what is going on, Lord? Is there something? Keep your calm. Remember what we talked not long ago about David, who was stoned and cursed. And he said, hey, leave the guy alone. Maybe God tell him to curse me. That's a spiritual man. Say, let him curse me. Because maybe the Lord say, curse David. And I don't want to be between God and his plan for me. Maybe God wants him to humiliate me so he can raise me back up. You see what I mean? Amen. So, weak believers often make that the matter of complaint, which is really just ground for hope and matter of joy. Things that happen to us, they happen for our good, but we take them the matter to complain, to talk, to cry, to weep. We cry out that we have some comfort in life when they're taken away from us. We cry, we weep. We're just crying for the wrong reason. You know, it's like having a child and something dangerous. Maybe a battle of anything that could harm them. Or a knife or something. You take it out, they were having fun with it. They cry. You're not going to give it back, are you? No. It's the same thing. You have things that are taken away. You have problem that is coming to you. It's not to harm you. Remember the promise? He has a plan for our lives and it's not to harm us. So when indeed the removal of our temporal comfort, which we lament, is in order to the resurrection of our spiritual. We have some material thing taken out of us so our spiritual can be resurrected. One last point. Now, she had her own dilemma. She was crying. She was mourning for the bad body. It's like you and I, something happened. Horrible, terrible happened to us. We don't keep it to ourselves. We go to our brothers and sisters and dump that thing too. So she ran to the other disciples and just convinced them the body is stolen. We have to do something about it. You're all crazy. There must be one more spiritual than another. Say, hey, slow down, man. Slow down. Calm down. It's not that bad. Who knows the spiritual one to help the weaker one? And when it's come to communication, we are so good in communicating our sorrows. So good. So good. I will remind you is a little story we had years ago. I remember sharing this. A bird, around this time, you know, the birds are preparing to have their nests. So if a bird went to a specific tree a farmer had, but the farmer had in mind to cut the tree soon. So the bird kept on trying to build nest in it. And the farmer every day woke up and destroyed. Destroyed every day. So what do you think the bird is thinking? What's wrong with this guy? I'm trying to build something and he's destroying it. But the reality is the farmer is helping him. The farmer is saying, hey, I don't want you to build it here because I'm going to destroy the tree. You will have no nest. I don't want you to work in vain. And that's the way God is working with us. We have things we don't know, we don't see. He knows and he sees. So he takes things out. He put things before us. Whatever, it's like the donkey who spoke. God will do whatever to help you out because he wants good for you and for me. And finally, the former Thomas, you know, the Bible says he came in the second time The first thing he did, he said, "Hey, Thomas, come here. Touch me. Don't be faithless, but believing." And it's good to know that he knows us by name in whatever situation. He knows our doubts, and he will call us out to say, "Hey, I know you have that doubt, but whatever it takes, he will help you out." And you will think, because we are in church here and we've been Christian for so long, we have faith 100%. There are many times, I guarantee you, you say, "Is there any chance this is just a story, just fable? Or is it true? I mean, I'm missing some good fun out there that I'm not having because of that. What if it's not true?" But remember the last verse, verse 31. John says, "These are written for you to know that Jesus is the Son of God." It is true. It is real. And if it wasn't real, trust me, by now, they would destroy the whole Christian Jesus thing. It wouldn't be anymore. They do try from the beginning. They cannot. So I encourage you from this day, believe, trust, because he is real. He is risen. And I remember the last time I shared with you his Easter message. I shared with you about the story of the calling that will take place at the very end. You will hear they will call different person, whether it's Allah, whether it's whatever. They always say present. But when they call Jesus, there will be no answer. Jesus Christ, no answer, because he's not in the tomb. He is risen. May God bless you.
Wow, what a powerful Easter message. Do you see yourself anywhere in that message? Maybe Doubting Thomas, Mary Magdalene, Simon, Peter, John, or even the bird. Think about it, that entire message. We all should fit somewhere in there. Take what you heard today. Apply it to your life. Let's grow from that message. Don't be a hearer only. Be a doer. Let us pray. Leave this morning, Lord, fed by your word, nourished by your word. Help us to be mindful and use your word in our lives, Lord. God, not only to be blessed by your word, but to bless others. Lord, bless us as we go forth this week. In your precious holy name, we pray. Amen. God bless you.